hillside with a great crowd and spoke three chapters worth of a sermon. Sometimes I think I should just read his sermon and sit down rather than offer you some of my own thoughts. We'll do that another day. We're reading the Beatitudes from the Latin Beatitudo, which means the blessings, the happiness even. Familiar words. Hear now the word of God. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've always wanted to preach a sermon on the Beatitudes and title it The B-Attitudes. I think that's sort of clever. They're the attitudes you ought to have. They're the B-Attitudes. I'd like to do it, except the only problem is then I read the Beatitudes and I think, who wants to be poor in spirit? I mean, who wants to be poor in anything, really? Poor in our bank account, poorly informed. We don't want that, but we don't want to be poor in spirit either. What good can that be? We live in a time when 1 in 5 Americans and about 70% of our 18 to 30-year-olds say that they are spiritual but not religious. They're not religious. They don't want to be bound to any particular faith, but they are spiritual. Of course, my perspective would be that to be spiritual, you look to what the great religious traditions of the world have to offer, that that's where you find what's truly spiritual, what wisdom has been passed down to us through the centuries. But we'll save that discussion for another day. Today, to be spiritual is a good thing. So who wants to be poor in spirit? And if you keep reading the Beatitudes, they don't get much better. Who wants to mourn? Who wants to be meek? Who wants to be hungry? I mean, isn't being merciful for wimps? Peacemakers are certainly not going to win the rat race. If we take Jesus at all seriously here, we really do not want to go where he wants to take us. I mean, really, who wants to be poor in spirit? Maybe you do. It turns out this first beatitude sets the stage for all the rest. The first beatitude is the one that the precondition for seeing the way the world really is. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If we want to see the way the world really is, we need to start there. We've all seen the movie, The Wizard of Oz, but fewer of us have read the book. And if you read the book version of The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, then you know that the Emerald City isn't really green. The Emerald City isn't green at all. Everyone thinks it's green because when they enter the Emerald City, they're forced to put on green spectacles, green eyeglasses. That's what makes everything in the Emerald City green. That's the only thing. The Emerald City is green only because everyone is wearing sunglasses. And the radical claim of Jesus is that we're all wearing sunglasses. We don't see the world the way it really is. We don't see the world the way God made it. We don't value the things that are truly valuable. We don't spend our lives seeking that which matters most. So the first step, if you want to live a spiritual life, the first step is you must seek the truth about the lives we're living. Elsewhere, Jesus says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." But how do you begin to know the truth? Well, the beginning is this first beatitude, this first blessing. It's the only beatitude that's in the present tense. All the rest are future tense. All the rest point toward the future. You will be comforted. You will inherit the earth. You will see God. But this first beatitude speaks about now. Blessed, happy. One translation even says successful. I think that's just to shake us up and make us hear the words again. Successful are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Ron Miller, the professor of religion at Lake Forest College, who spoke here in the sanctuary on Tuesday, he describes this beatitude by telling a Buddhist story. Now remember, the great religions of the world are not identical. It's not that all the religions really are basically the same. Neither he nor I would say that. But often, as we've said before here, often the great truths of one religion can illuminate the deep truths of another faith. And so Ron Miller tells this story. It's the story. It's the story of a king who learns that a great teacher has come into his land, and the king would like the prestige of actually entertaining and receiving and welcoming this teacher, so he invites the teacher to join him for tea, and the teacher agrees to come, but the teacher knows about the king and his character. The teacher knows the real reason why he's been invited, for appearance's sake, for his reputation's sake. And so the teacher comes, and they sit down at table in the great room, and the king asks the teacher to pour the tea. And the teacher agrees, and so he takes the pitcher and the cup, and he pours the tea. And he keeps pouring. And he keeps pouring until the king says, "Stop! Stop! My cup is full." And the teacher says, "You are right. Your cup is full. And a full cup can receive no tea." And then the teacher set down the cup, stood, and left the palace, leaving the king to ponder the meaning of his words. The full cup can receive no tea. A spirit that is full has no room to receive any new insight, any new understanding. And as Ron Miller writes, our natural condition is so ego-filled that it has little space for spiritual teaching of any kind. But to follow the path that Jesus describes, one has to have room. One has to be an empty cup. Our lives are full. They are full of activity, saturated with words, and these days bombarded with images. We are full of our own ego. We are full of ourselves. We're full of what others expect us to be, what others want us to be. We're full of what we're taught by this world will bring us happiness or will satisfy us. We are full, and too often there's no room to entertain any new insight. There's no room for the notion that maybe there's more to the world than what we see. There's more to life than what we know. And like the people of the Emerald City, we are wearing sunglasses. And we don't even know it. We cannot fathom that there might be a whole different set of priorities and possibilities and purposes for our lives. Unless we are poor in spirit. Unless we allow there to be a little poverty in our soul. Unless we're brave enough to take off the green sunglasses and see that what we're pouring into our cups isn't taking care of our thirst. That for all we keep pouring into our cups, for all the ways in which our lives are so busy that they're overflowing, that what it is we're drinking leaves us thirsty, thirsty for more. If we take off our sunglasses, if we allow our cups not to be filled, if we are poor in spirit, then we sense the lack within us. We sense that we're missing something. And if we are poor in spirit, then there's room for God to work within us. One of our seminary teachers used to say that we need to create a space within our spirits that we will not fill with anything but God. A space where we will not put any other philosophy or thought or understanding. A space that we leave empty. A space that's poor in spirit, you might say. So that God can plant a seed there. So that God can sow the truth within us. A small space that we will not give to any other loyalty, to any other commitment, any other purpose. A small space that leaves room for the living God. How do you do that in these chaotic times in which we live and the crazy schedules that you must keep? Somehow you have to find a way to create a little empty time in your cup. You can use the breath prayer that we pray every Sunday. A breath prayer, that silent prayer you say to yourself in the rhythm of your breathing that creates a quiet place within, that creates room. Room for God to work. Maybe it's creating your own Bible time to read the scripture, your own prayer time to sit quietly with God. Maybe it's joining one of the Lenten groups that'll be starting soon to go deeper into your own spirit. Maybe your life is so crazy it's only when you're driving. Turn off the radio. And just quietly create a place for the Spirit of God to work. And when you make a little bit of room for God, when you allow the Spirit to work just a little bit within your own spirit, then some of those other beatitudes that seem so contrary to anything we'd really want to do, any way we'd really want to live, some of them actually begin to make a little more sense. Eugene Peterson wrote a paraphrase of the Bible called The Message. And he offers a new take on some of those familiar words that many of us have heard many times. See what you think about his take on the Beatitudes. You're blessed when you feel that you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself the proud owner of everything that cannot be bought. You're blessed when you care, At the moment of being careful, being full of care, you find yourself cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and you discover your place in God's family. It all starts when we make room in our cup. It starts when we remove the green glasses that keep us from seeing the truth. It begins with a poverty of spirit that leaves room for the living God to fill us with truth. This is the beginning of the spiritual life. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, give us room in our cup. Room for your spirit to truly fill us. For Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes, we ask it. Amen. Let's worship.